Kshetragyam chapimam vidhi. Oh, you don't have, it's not here. We have more Bhagavad Gitas here. There's one in the back. Maybe it can be given to the ladies' side. And I have one here. And you have one there.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're closing in on it. Oh, great. No, bring that to the back for the ladies, because we have a couple books up here. Yeah, Guru Bhakti. Okay. 13.3. Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetra kshetragnayor gyanam yattaj gyanam matam mama Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi
Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi
Sarva kshetreshu bharata
Sarva kshetreshu bharata
Kshetra kshetragnayor gyanam
Kshetra kshetragnayor gyanam
Yattaj gyanam matam mama
Yattaj gyanam matam mama
Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi
Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi
Sarva kshetreshu bharata
Sarva kshetreshu bharata
Kshetra kshetragnayor gyanam
Kshetra kshetragnayor gyanam
Yattaj gyanam matam mama
Yattaj gyanam matam mama
Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi
Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi
Sarva
kshetreshu bharata
Kshetra
kshetra gnayor gyanam
Yattaj
gyanam matam mama
Kshetra
gyam chapi mam vidhi
Sarva
kshetreshu bharata
Kshetra
kshetra gnayor gyanam Yattaj gyanam matam mama
Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi
Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi
Sarva kshetreshu bharata
Kshetra
kshetragnayor gyanam
Kshetra kshetragnayor gyanam
Yattaj gyanam matam mama
Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi
Sarva
kshetreshu bharata
Kshetra
kshetragnayor gyanam
Yattaj
gyanam matam mama Ladies? Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi Sarva kshetreshu bharata Kshetra kshetragnayor gyanam Yattaj gyanam matam mama Kshetragyam the knower of the field Cha
also
Api,
api
certainly.
Certainly.
Mam,
me.
Vidhi,
vidhi
no.
No.
Sarva,
sarva
all.
Kshetreshu,
in bodily fields.
Bharata,
O son of Bharata.
O son of
Kshetra,
the field of activities.
The body. Kshetragnayo,
and the knower of the field.
Gyanam,
knowledge of.
Yat,
that which.
Tat,
that.
Gyanam,
knowledge.
Matam,
opinion.
Mama,
my.
O scion of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body, O scion of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. That is my opinion. Purport. While discussing the subject of the body and the knower of the body, the soul and the super soul, we shall find three different topics of study. The Lord, the living entity, and matter. In every field of activities, in every body, there are two souls, the individual soul and the super soul. Because the super soul is the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna says, I am also the knower, but I am not the individual knower of the body, I am the super knower. I am present in everybody as the Paramatma, or super soul. One who studies the subject matter of the field of activity and the knower of the field very minutely, in terms of this Bhagavad Gita, can attain to knowledge. Om Jnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakol Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi, sarva kshetreshu bharata, kshetra kshetragneor gyanam, yataj gyanam matam mama. The Srila Prabhupada distinguishes here three subjects, the Lord, the living entity, and matter. And the conditioned soul tends to be confused on all accounts. First, he confuses the living entity and matter, or himself and matter. He thinks himself to be this body. He thinks himself to be a product of material energy. That is, he thinks that life arises from a combination of material chemicals. So he's confused, first of all, about the field and the knower of the field. He thinks that the field has produced the knower, or that the knower is just another manifestation of the field. He is so confused. It's called sometimes the logic of the rice and the scorpions. The ignorant person sees that scorpions crawl out of rice and therefore thinks that the rice has produced the scorpion. So the ignorant person thinks that the living entity and matter are essentially identical, that one is just another kind of manifestation of the other, that life is just a special case of matter, a particular type of matter. So he confuses the field and the knower of the field. And as we discussed yesterday, even from the point of view of modern physics, there's a distinction between the system and the person who observes the system. So the field and the knower of the field. So that distinction, first of all, we have to observe, that there's matter and there's spirit, or there's the energy which is lacking consciousness and the energy which is possessing consciousness, or that which is temporary and that which is permanent. The body is changing, but consciousness within the body is the constant factor. I had a child's body, I had a man's body. So the body is changing, but I'm the same person. Even if I say I've gotten older, still I'm the person who's observing. I've observed that the body has gone through so many changes. So first distinction, matter and spirit are different. The soul and the body are different. That's the first point. Then we get past that, we understand now matter and spirit are different. But then we think that spirit and the Supreme are the same. First I think I'm the same as matter, then I think I'm the same as God. From one confusion to another. So Krishna, in this chapter, aims at clarifying the identity of all three of these entities, matter, spirit, and the controller of both. And to understand these topics clearly, these three clearly, is knowledge. Yat taj gyanam atam mama. The Lord says, I am the knower of the field of activities in every individual body. The individual may be the knower of his own body, but he is not in knowledge of other bodies. We discussed that yesterday, that I have a toothache, you don't feel it. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present as the Supersoul in all bodies, knows everything about all bodies. He knows all the different bodies of all the various species of life. A citizen may know everything about his patch of land, but the king knows not only his palace, but all the properties possessed by the individual citizens. Similarly, one may be the proprietor of the body individually, but the Supreme Lord is the proprietor of all bodies. The king is the original proprietor of the kingdom, and the citizen is the secondary proprietor. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the supreme proprietor of all bodies. As we noted yesterday, Srila Prabhupada often gave a sort of updated version of this example, since kings are rather out of the picture these days, but landlords are quite common. The landlord is the owner of all the apartments, whereas I'm only the owner of my individual flat, my own individual apartment. I know my apartment, you know yours, but the landlord knows all of them. He is the original owner of all the apartments in the building, and I'm the secondary owner. The body consists of the senses. The Supreme Lord is Rishikesh, which means the controller of the senses. He is the original controller of the senses, just as the king is the original controller of all the activities of the state. The citizens are secondary controllers. The Lord says, "I am also the knower." This means that he is the super knower. The individual soul knows only his particular body. In the Vedic literature, it is stated as follows: Kshetrani hi sharirani bijam chapi shupa shupe tani veti sa yogatma tata kshetrakya uchate. In all of the bodies, the verse says, the knower of everything is the personality of Godhead, and therefore he's also called Kshetrakya. This body is called the Kshetra, and within it dwells the owner of the body and the Supreme Lord, who knows both the body and the owner of the body. Therefore he is called the knower of all fields. The distinction between the field of activities, the knower of activities, and the supreme knower of activities is described as follows. Perfect knowledge of the constitution of the body, the constitution of the individual soul, and of the constitution of the supersoul is known in terms of Vedic literature as gyan, knowledge. That is the opinion of Krishna. Yat taj gyanam matam mama. To understand both the supersoul, the soul and the supersoul as one yet distinct, is knowledge. One who does not understand the field of activity and the knower of activity is not in perfect knowledge. One has to understand the position of prakriti, nature, purusha, the enjoyer of nature, and Ishra, the knower who dominates or controls nature and the individual soul. One should not confuse the three in their different capacities. One should not confuse the painter, the painting, and the easel. This material world, which is the field of activities, is nature. And the enjoyer of nature is the living entity. And above them both is the supreme controller, the personality of Godhead. It is stated in the Vedic language, in the Svetashvatara Upanishad 1.12, Bhokta bhogyam pritaram chamatva sarvam proktam trivitam brahmam etat. There are three Brahman conceptions. Prakriti is Brahma as the field of activities, and the jiva, the individual soul, is also Brahma and is trying to control material nature. And the controller of both of them is also Brahma, but he is the factual controller. This word Brahma comes up all sorts of places. The material nature is called Brahma. We find that in the 14th chapter. Ahambija Pradapita Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Ahambija Pradapita Sarvayoni Shukantaya Murtaya Sambhavantiya Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Ahambija Pradapita. My dear Arjuna, I am the father of all the living beings in all species of life. Sarvayoni Shukantaya Murte Sambhavantiya Tasam Brahma Mahadyoni. The source of birth for all of these living beings is Brahma. Tasam Brahma Mahadyoni Aham Bija Pradapita. I'm the giver of the seed, the father, Pita. And the mother is material nature. So that great material nature is also called Brahma. Tasam Brahma Mahadyoni. That great source of birth, material nature, is called Brahma. Brahma means Brihat, great. So material nature is great, so it's also called Brahma. And then the living entity is called Brahma also. He's Aham Brahmasmi. He's also called Brahma. And then the Supreme Lord is also called Brahma. Param Brahma, Param Dham, Pavitram, Paramam Bhava. So this word Brahma gets around. It has different applications, different meanings. Just as we have English words that mean different things. The post is where you stand when you're on duty. A post is something that you stick in the ground and tie something to. A post is a message that you send on the internet. Or post is the old letter carrying system. I put my letter in the post. So the same word can have very different meanings. So in Sanskrit also, this word Brahma has different meanings. It means material nature, it means the living entity, and it means the Supreme Lord. But people get confused. So when they think of Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi, they think, I'm also Brahma. I'm also the Supreme. Yes. They become confused. Just as, yes, in so many ways, they become confused. Confusing the small Brahma with the great Brahma. In the Upanishads it said, Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakaya. Within the tree of this body, there are two birds. Dva, two. One is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other is simply observing. Two friendly birds, Sakaya. Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakaya. So, the Upanishads point to two different living beings. One is eating the fruits, shubha shubhe, sometimes tasty and sometimes distasteful. And the super soul is standing aloof, and he's just witnessing and waiting for the other bird to turn to him. The impersonalists try to make the two birds into one bird. That's not very good. Srila Jiva Goswami gives another tree example, how the living entity and the Lord become one. That a green bird flies into a green tree, and then it appears that they've merged. But actually the bird maintains his identity, the tree maintains its identity. So it may seem that the living being and the merges into the existence of the Supreme Lord, or it may seem that he's merged into material nature. But they're all individual. The Lord is an individual, the living entity is an individual. Nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam. Among all of the eternal living beings, there's one supreme eternal. Nitya is singular, and Nityanam is plural. Among the plural eternals, there's one singular eternal. Chaitanas Chaitananam. Among all the conscious living entities, there's one supremely conscious living entity. Eko Bohunam Yo Viditati Kama. The one is providing the, fulfilling the desires of the many, providing the necessities of the many. The one is independent and the others are dependent on him. But the Mayavadis tried to make them into one identity. Srila Prabhupada is following here Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his commentary refers to the interpretation that Sripad Shankaracharya gives to this verse, which is very clever. Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi. You should know, Krishna says, that I am also the Kshetragya. There's a Kshetragya, there's a living entity, a knower of the field within the body, and God says, I'm also that. What you are, I also am. That's Shankaracharya's interpretation. Very tricky. Very tricky interpretation. Kshetragyam cha api mamvidhi. You should know that that Kshetra, who's different from the body, is also me. I'm that Kshetragya. Sarva Kshetreshu, in all the bodies. This is Shankara's interpretation. And Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, without going toe-to-toe with Shankara on that, just refers back and says, go back and see my commentary on Dehi no Sminyata. I dealt with this in the second chapter. There's so many reasons why we can't equate the living entity with the Supreme Lord. They're different. Krishna says, I remember all of my past births. You've forgotten. What's the difference between why does Krishna have to instruct Arjuna if Krishna is Arjuna? If Krishna is in knowledge and there's no difference between Krishna and Arjuna, how can Arjuna be in ignorance? If Krishna is in knowledge, then Arjuna must also be in perfect knowledge because there's no difference between the Lord and the living entity. They're absolutely one. Then it would make no sense. Arjuna would have no need to surrender. Or else he would need to surrender, but Krishna would be in no position to help him because he would have to be as ignorant as Arjuna. If Arjuna is ignorant and Arjuna is not different from Krishna, then Krishna must also be ignorant. And then Bhagavad Gita is useless.
There's no Gita.
Hmm?
There's no Gita.
No Gita. Yeah, there'd be no need of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna would just be lost. He says, no one but you can answer my doubts. But how is it that Krishna can answer his doubts? It's because Krishna is different from Arjuna. And someone says, you see this duality because you've got, what is it? Not myopia. What is it when you see double?
Dyslopia.
Diplopia. Two lopis. Okay. Diplopia. You've got diplopia. And therefore, you're seeing double. So you're seeing two living entities where there's really only one. But that doesn't really work because, all right, I may have diplopia, but Krishna doesn't have diplopia. And he says that you and I and all of these kings have always existed. Natvevaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadipa. Nacha evam tu padisham sarvayamitapam. We existed as individuals in the past, we exist as individuals now, and we'll never cease to exist individually. So I may have diplopia, you may have diplopia, but Bhagavan doesn't have diplopia. He's not an illusion. If he's an illusion again, then his Bhagavad Gita is useless. So he has no eye problem, and he sees multiplicity. So many kings, and you, and me. For so many reasons, the interpretation of Shankaracharya, what would you say, elegant or clever or well-argued as it may be, can't stand. It's like those lawyerly arguments
you know, where they, it sounds really good till you really look at it and say, whoa, that was a trick. So these are tricky arguments. They can't ultimately stand. In this chapter, it will also be explained that out of the two knowers, one is fallible and the other is infallible. One is superior and the other is subordinate. That will come later in the chapter. Kshara akshara eva cha. The kshara sarvani bhutani bhutas tokshu uchite. They're the fallible and the infallible. Krishna says, I'm beyond all of them. I'm better than... It's not that when you become perfect, then you become me or you become God. Krishna says, I'm better than the fallible and infallible living entities. One who understands the two knowers of the field to be one and the same contradicts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who states here very clearly, I am also the knower of the field of activity. The landlord is not saying, when he says, I'm the owner of all the apartments, he's not saying, I'm Mr. Patel in 14B, and I'm somebody else, Mr. Raju in 14C, and I'm also Mr. Jones in 14D, and I'm Mr. Giuliani in 14F. That's not what the landlord means when he says, I'm the owner of all the apartments. He means you're the owner of one, he's the owner of the next guy's the owner of his, but I'm the owner of all the apartment buildings. Not that you don't have to pay rent, because you're me and I'm also you. That doesn't work. That's really what's going on here. We don't want to accept our obligation to the personality of Godhead. So we say, listen, I'm also you, you're also me. Or why do I have to owe you anything? You're me and I'm you, right? No. The Supreme Lord is the superior and the living entity is the subordinate. One who misunderstands a rope to be a serpent is not in knowledge. This rope-serpent example is given by everyone, practically. Shankaracharya uses this example. The Buddhists use this example. And we also mention this same example. When used by the Buddhists and the Shankarites, the purpose is to say that we're confusing things, that we're imagining that we're something that we're not, or we're seeing something other than what truly is. We're seeing a rope, but really we're seeing a snake, but really it's just a rope. And we're in illusion and we're seeing a snake. So I'm imagining that I'm this body, but actually I'm God, whatever. Or for the Buddhists, I'm imagining that there's individual existence. But rope and snake, confusing means there must actually be a snake. If I'm confusing a rope for a snake, there must be a rope, there must be a snake. I may be confusing one with the other, but both exist. So the matter exists, the living entity exists, the Lord exists. There are different kinds of bodies, and there are different owners of the bodies. Because each individual soul has his individual capacity for lording it over material nature, there are different bodies. That we talked about yesterday also. Everyone has a particular way to try to enjoy material nature, and we get a particular body accordingly. Smart dresser gets the body of a zebra, for example. Or the big eater gets the body of a hippopotamus. Big body like a dump truck, mouth like a shovel. whatever. Those who want to enjoy a lot of sex life make it the life of a monkey or a pigeon, where they can go at it so many times a day. There are those who want to fly, can take birth as birds. Those who want to swim can take birth in the ocean. There are so many different bodies to satisfy the living beings with so many different desires. But the Supreme also is present in all those bodies as the controller. The word cha is significant, for it indicates the total number of bodies. Cha indicates, and means multiplicity, indicates so many bodies. That is the opinion of Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Krishna is the super soul present in each and every body, apart from the individual soul. And Krishna explicitly says here that the super soul is the controller of both the field of activities and the finite enjoyer. Then the Lord is going to explain in the coming verses what the field of activity is. He's going to briefly analyze it in terms of its elements as described in Sankhya philosophy. And then he's going to go on and describe the process of knowledge and what it is that's to be known. In other words, he's going to answer all of the questions that Arjuna asked him in the first verse of the chapter. We'll find that as we go along in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So we have some questions.
Since Krishna is the knower of all bodies, and since we know that there are many bodies that are miserable and are suffering like anything, does that mean that in one sense...
that Krishna is miserable?
Yeah, Krishna is feeling this misery, this suffering, especially in light of that he's the supreme enjoyer.
Does Krishna, being in all the different bodies, experience the pain or pleasure of all the bodies? No. When a living entity takes the body of a pig and he's eating stool, then Krishna is not also enjoying the taste of eating stool. No. Or when the living... because that's illusion, actually. I'm imagining that I'm a pig. I'm imagining that I'm enjoying, or I'm imagining that I'm suffering. It's described as being like a dream. No, Krishna's not dreaming. Krishna's awake. We see that Krishna, Arjuna, is lamenting. Oh, my cousins, my brothers, my grandfather, my teacher. And Krishna, prahasaniva, he's just slightly smiling. Why is he smiling? Arjuna is having a nightmare. Oh, he's having a nightmare and you're smiling? Yes. Is that callous? Someone's in a nightmare. My life is a nightmare and you're smiling? Yes. Actually, prahasaniva, it's commented upon. Eva means as if smiling. It means kind of smiling, slightly smiling, a little bit of a smile. One commentator has said that Krishna is being polite. That because Arjuna is such a fool, but Krishna is being polite, Krishna is being restrained, and he's not outright laughing at him. He's just slightly smiling. Why? Because Krishna's awake. Krishna's awake. Arjuna is having a nightmare because he's sleeping. And Krishna is not having that nightmare because he's awake. The child is crying because the tiger is chasing him. And the parents are saying, there, there. And they're smiling at one another a little bit. Oh, the child is having a nightmare. They're not worried that the tiger is going to catch up to the child and swallow him. They're awake. They know it's not a problem. But because the child is sleeping, for the child, it's a problem. So Krishna is not under the same illusion. Okay. Something else. Yes?
There's like a popular...
oh, I have to tell you in advance, you have to be loud.
Sorry, talk
Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. Yes.
But that seems to go against the text, I think, Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is Krishna Surya Samaya Hiranyakara.
Seems to go against the text, Krishna Surya Samaya Hiranyakara.
Okay.
So which is true?
Which is true? Hmm. Okay. This is a Mayavad slogan. Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. The truth, the absolute truth is false, and is real, and the world is false. That's their slogan. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says that, you know, Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. So, that's a fact. Krishna is like the sun. Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastha. And ignorance is compared to darkness. Yaha Krishna ta maya mahiyadikar. Where there's Krishna, Maya has no right to stand. Brahma Satya, if the Absolute is real, then the world, which is part of the Absolute, must also be real. It can't be false. If my hand is real, then my fingernail can't be false. Now, my fingernails are a different quality than my hand. My fingers have a sense of touch, and they're made of living tissue. But the fingernail, am I right that it's not living?
True.
Yeah, it's not living tissue. But it's not false. It's real. It's just not of the same quality as the rest of the hand. That doesn't mean it's false. It's real, but it's not the same. Even, yes.
Mm-hmm. Darkness exists or doesn't exist?
Darkness exists. But it's contingent upon light. Actually, darkness is a product of light. So, because the light is real, you can say that the darkness is also real. But it's not real sunshine, it's real darkness. It's not the same as sunshine. Or you can say it's part of the sunshine, it's the dark side of the sunshine. The sunshine creates darkness also. Without the sunshine, there'd be no darkness. But the darkness is not the sunshine, but the darkness is not nothing. It's something. Ignorance is not nothing. It's just not knowledge. Something called fool's gold. It looks like gold, but it's not gold. But it's not nothing. It's something. It's just not what we think it is. What's false is my false identification of that fool's gold as real gold. Otherwise, fool's gold is real, and the other gold is real. What's not real is the mistake that one is the other. There are so many things like that. The placebo, the pill that you get that looks like medicine, they use in tests and so on. It's not medicine, but it's not nothing. It's a placebo. You can't say it doesn't exist. It's there. So, Krishna is real, and therefore everything created by Krishna is also real. You can't say the fruit, the tree is real, and the fruit is false. The tree is real, therefore the fruit is also real. But so everything created by Krishna is real, but this portion is temporary. And the spiritual world is the portion where everything is eternal. And we confuse the two. We think we'll go on living here forever. We think that we'll have a kingdom of God down here. That's false. So Prabhupada said, Brahma Satya, Jagat Satya. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahu ranisha. The theory that the world is false is described in Krishna as being demonic, but by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita as being demonic. Asatyam apratishtam te. Te means the demons. The asuras say that this world is asatya. It's not real. Prabhupada say they mentions they compare it to a dream, but they're very expert in enjoying the dream. There was an old song in the 1960s. Strawberry fields, nothing is real. Right? And nothing to get hung up about. Nothing is real, so you can just go out and enjoy any which way. Because it's all a dream anyway. Krishna says no. Asatyam, nothing is real. Apratishta, nothing has any basis beneath it. There's no underlying reality. Jagadahur Anishram, there's no God in control of the universe. Aparaspara Sambhutam, Kemanyat Kamahaitakam, everything is just the product of pushings and pullings of different particles of matter attracting and repelling one another. And there's the strong force and the weak force and this force and that force. And all those forces working together is what brings everything into existence, brings life into existence. It all just comes from elemental, material forces. Krishna says this is demonic. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadavari nishra aparasparas sambhutam kimanyat kamahaitam. And mogasha, moga karmano, moga jnana vichetasa. Those who think in this way are bewildered. Mogasha means all their aspirations and their hopes will be smashed. Moga karmano, all of their work, all of their hard work will be smashed. Moga jnana, all of their great advancement in knowledge will be frustrated. Why? Vichetasa. Because they're turning their minds away from Krishna. They're turning away from the absolute reality, away from the light toward the darkness, away from reality toward illusion, away from Krishna toward Maya. Vichetasa. Asarim rakshasim chaya. They're asuras, demons, rakshasas. Rakshasas means man-eating demons too. You know, the great heads of state, the great corporate giants and so on, who live by crushing others. Rakshasas. Asrim rakshasim chaiva. Prakritim mohinim shritaha. They take shelter also, as we take shelter of Krishna. They take shelter also, but prakritim mohinim, of the bewildering material energy. They take shelter of their physical strength. They take shelter of their intellectual brilliance. They take shelter of their science. They take shelter of their philosophy. They take shelter of their prostitute. You know, big, big lawmaker, and where does he go for shelter? To God? No, he goes to, you know, some expensive call girl. Takes shelter of her. They take shelter of their wealth. They take shelter of this. They take shelter of that. They take shelter of Maya. Prakritim mohinim shrita. This is where they get to, because there's no God in control. Everything's an illusion. There's no reality underlying everything. Everything's just whatever you make it, whatever you think it is. Where does that get them? This is where it gets them. They take shelter of Maya, and everything that they set out to accomplish is ultimately crushed. Maya sukaya baramud bahato vimuta. These fools created a humbug civilization, Prabhupada said. A civilization, just like, take the economic thing, and build up tremendous prosperity, and based on what? Based on money that you print in your basement. It's just, it's not your basement, but somebody's got a basement, and they want more money, they rev up the press. I saw an item in England when I was there, that the Bank of England had been authorized to create however much, 70 billion pounds of new money. Isn't that nice? Creating new money. That was called quantitative easing. Isn't that great? Those who are students of language, there's one, a specimen to pin on your wall. Quantitative easing. They created new money. What does that mean? It means they just revved up the press.
One word nobody understands and one word everybody understands. Oh, it must be good.
Creating new money. It just means you go to the press and you issue some more papers. It doesn't mean you actually have anything more except more paper. So it's built on falsity. So it has to sooner or later collapse. Or it's built on expansion of unnecessary necessities. Everyone has to have a new car every 2 years, every 3 years. And we have to have 70 million models to choose from. And we have to have so many manufacturing plants to keep up the production of more cars than we need. How long can that last? Or, from another point of view, like in Dubai, where I go from time to time, there were cars, and then there were cars, and then there were cars, and there were cars. It's a small place. Yeah, I don't think it's as big as Houston. I don't know. It's not. It may not even be as big as Houston. It's a small country. It's not a big thing, the United Arab Emirates. In one small corner of Texas, that's for sure. You can fit the whole thing. There's just not enough space for all these cars. And they're just buying more. There was some statistic, every day, X number of more cars. Where do you put them all? Even to park them, what to speak of driving them? So the place becomes mad. With cars upon, when I was first going there, some 10 years ago or something, you know, it was busy. But now it's mad. But traffic jam upon traffic jam upon traffic jam. And why? For happiness. For greater enjoyment. Somebody had a great idea that we can have a horseless carriage. And then we won't have to have horses making noise in the street and depositing their dung on the street. We can have these nice machines that will make life so much better, won't it? And now we have just a mess. People fighting, sending their armies overseas to fight over petroleum, and all of this business with manufacturing plants everywhere, and global warming, and environmental crisis, and air that you can't breathe, and all of that. Because the materialists are going to make a better world. There was a slogan back in the, again, 60s, 60s. Who was it? One of the companies. Better living through chemistry. DuPont?
Yeah.
Better living through chemistry. You know, we'll just cook up more and more chemicals and we'll have better living through chemistry. Like agriculture, for example. In India, where these farmers are committing suicide because better living through chemistry, some company breeds some special kind of seeds that you can only get from them. And these seeds will give you a wonderful yield. And so you only have to go to your bank and borrow so much money. And of course these plants that grow will not give you more seeds. They're engineered better living through chemistry in such a way. You have to buy them from us. And then when your crop fails, you're in debt to the bank, you've lost everything, and you commit suicide. So many farmers in Chhattisgarh happened. And there's so many other examples of better living through chemistry. We can give so many. Otherwise, Krishna says, better living through cooperation with material nature. Krishna, he makes things in such a way, you put a seed in the ground and something grows and gives you more seeds. That's good, or you're manufacturer, your international global conglomerate that gives you seeds that give plants that won't give more seeds. Or plants engineers so that they fit perfectly with the pesticides that you need to make them grow. So that you have to buy their seeds, you have to buy their pesticides, and finally you poison your land like anything. And whatever grows there is also poison. Better living through chemistry. So our idea is better living through Krishna consciousness. That you live better by coming in touch with the Supreme Life. The living entity needs to be in touch with the source of all life, Krishna. Jivanam sarva-bhuteshu. Krishna says, I'm the life of all living beings. If you're out of touch with the Supreme Life, you're dead. We're identifying, instead of identifying with Krishna, the Supreme Life, we identify with this body, which is dead, which has no life, which is lifeless. And we're expecting to be happy. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Adi Shankara is an incarnation of Shiva. And so can you tell us, when does Shankara's philosophy make sense? For example, it is said that India was full of Buddhists, so he took incarnation to get rid of the Buddhists. But today, if you come across a Buddhist, would you preach him Mayavad philosophy or would you preach him Krishna consciousness? So when does it make sense for Shankara's philosophy?
Well, when did Shankara's philosophy make sense? It never made sense, but it makes sense to some people. It doesn't make sense to us at any time. But those, I happened to do a little reading in Buddhism last month and was amazed to see, actually, how, first of all, how tricky it is, how it's practically engineered to get rid of God. And then how close Shankaracharya's philosophy mirrors it. It just brings in Vedic authority. Thanks. It just reasserts, yeah, do a cell phone check if you haven't done it already, please. It reasserts the Vedic authority and reasserts the existence of spirit, whereas in Buddha's philosophy, anatma, there's no spirit, no soul. So it improves things in many ways. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that it's covered Buddhism. It's covered Buddhism. It makes sense, it's good in this sense, that it reasserts the Vedic authority. The Buddha rebelled against the Vedic authority, practically. It rejected the Vedas. And Shankaracharya reestablishes them. So when they're reestablished again, you can make the argument, conclusive argument for the personality of God. Amazingly subtle and tricky, the Mayavad philosophy. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mayavadi Bhasha Shunile Hoi Sarvanash. Anyone who gives submissive oral reception to the Mayavad philosophy will be lost. Mm-hmm. Yes?
At the last of the lecture, you said Krishna is in every body, like the controller.
Mm-hmm.
But he said also that Jiva is also the controller.
Mm-hmm.
So in what way they are both?
You have a little control, just like you have control in over your anything, your house, your land. But the state is the superior controller. The state has greater control. Even sometimes the state declares eminent domain and just takes your land. Where sometimes you have control, you want to build a new wing on your house, and the police car, you know, drives up and says, excuse me, we've got a complaint here that you have an unauthorized construction going on. You say, wait a second, this is my land. The state says, yeah, maybe your land, buddy, but the law is the law. You have a little control, but it's subject to the greater control of the state. You can't say, well, this is my land, so I'm going to beat this guy up on it. Can't do that, no. This is maybe your land, but it's still the United States of America, and you can't do this here. It's still the state of Texas, and you're not allowed to do this here. Right? You have a little control, but the state has greater control. You have secondary control. You can't contravene the state laws just because it's your land. You have to live within the laws of the state. You're secondary in control. The government is primary. Okay?
Can you say that when Shankaracharya said Vajra building the
Yeah, that's when Shankaracharya makes sense. Bhajagovindam, 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 Mutamate. You fools, just engage in the service of Krishna. Right?
Prapte
sanite nahi nahi rakshate dukrin karne. At the time of death, all your jugglery of prefixes and suffixes is not going to help you. Krishna will help you. But you go over there. Yes, that's what really makes sense. Thank you.
Was that near the end of his life? Did he say that?
Was it near the end of his life?
Yeah,
close to the end.
He only lived till
34
years of age.
Everything was near the end of his life.
Very short level.
Those who are mudhas are worshipping Govinda. But Krishna Govinda says, Namam duskritana mudha prapajante naratama. Those who are mudhas don't worship me. Or, taking from my point of view, I'm a mudha, but let me worship Govinda. Dadami buddhi yogam tam, then Krishna will give me intelligence. Yena maha upayanti. All right, I'm a mudha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my Guru Maharaj found me murka, fool, mudha, murka. See? He said, you can't study Vedanta, you just chant Hare Krishna. So, all right, accepting that we're all fools, let us engage in the service of Krishna.
It's just amazing that in a short lifetime,
Yeah, very influential. Tell people what they want to hear. From another point of view, he was 34, so he had so much power in that time. It means that it's not only old people who can do things. That the young generation should be given the opportunity to show their stuff. Not that the old men should hang on to the end and think, well, we're the only ones who could do it. Alexander the Great, how old was he?
He was in his 20s.
He was in his 20s, and he was the controller of the known world, practically speaking.
Good portion. He was known wherever he wasn't controlling also. And he was known wherever he wasn't controlling.
He was known wherever he wasn't controlling, and there were, and that wasn't a very, where he wasn't controlling hardly existed. And he was so powerful. And he was, you know, in his 20s. So, and Prabhupada also. He was sending people to start centers. They were 18, 19. Those who founded our London Yatra were in their early 20s. So that's a responsibility we have to hand things over to the next batch. Yes. Take over the world. For Krishna. How old are you?
34.
You're too old, are you? Anyway, better late than never. Yes?
What is the Mayavadi conception of fall down? How is it possible that if something is perfect and complete, then how is a part of it then can fall down?
How can we fall down? Well, it's, I suppose they have as much, they have their problems with it. I couldn't speak for their idea of fall down exactly, but in our fallen condition, the reason that we're in a fallen condition is that we've forgotten that we're Brahma, that we're the Absolute. That's our problem. We're fallen because we've forgotten, because we're in ignorance. As soon as we're enlightened, then there's no question of being fallen. We're Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi, I'm God. Of course, the question is how God becomes illusioned. What kind of God is that that we can't remember who he is? That means Maya is more powerful than God is. Which is a pretty dumb state of affairs. So they have to, this is essentially the core defect in the Mayavada philosophy. That if I'm God, why have I forgotten that I'm God? If I'm God, why am I suffering like a dog? If I'm God, why do I have to do something to remember that I'm God? These are all at the core of their problem. Anything else? Yeah.
What you said about Arjuna and Krishna is not, if it was that everything is one, there's no difference between Krishna and Arjuna, but if Krishna is, as the Maya would say, if he's enlightened, he would realize that he is God, then he would be able to see.
But if Krishna's enlightened, Arjuna's not enlightened, Krishna's enlightened, so Krishna's instructing Arjuna. So what's the problem? The problem is that if there's no difference between one living entity and another, as soon as one is enlightened, all of them should be enlightened. Ask some person, Mayavadi, is your guru enlightened? He says yes. Then we should all be enlightened. As soon as one person is liberated, we should all be liberated because we're all the same person. Right?
Or Prabhupada would say, give me a wallet.
Yeah, actually that was Giriraj Maharaj who did that. The story is quite famous, I think, but probably everyone here knows. This happened in Boston in the 1960s, late 1960s, I think. That we were in Harvard Square or King, someplace there in Boston. And some person was persistently trying to argue that everything is one. And so Giriraj Maharaj said, if everything is one, then give me your wallet. And the person, rather than admit defeat, handed over his wallet. And I think later sheepishly had to come back and ask for money to travel or something like that. He was stuck. Gurudas Prabhu tells a similar story. He was staying at some ashram somewhere in the Himalayas or someplace quite cold, and there was a sadhu who was arguing with him during the day that everything is one. And so as the evening came on, Gurudas asked us, well, since everything's one, there's no difference whether you have the blanket or I have the blanket.
There's an example, I think Prabhupada is it dealing with one of those. Why don't you wear a cotton ball?
Yeah, I was there. This was also Boston. That Prabhupada was at a speaking engagement at maybe it was Northwestern University. And after giving his talk, he was coming out. We were in a kind of a hall like this, and there were some prasadam and things, talking with the guests. And Prabhupada was coming out through that large hall, and all of a sudden this big wave went through the hall. You know how things, these waves go through a crowd? A big wave went through a crowd. I turned around, what happened? I found out later what had happened. Some Indian gentleman, maybe he was a professor or something, was arguing with Prabhupada, everything is one, and wouldn't take any reasonable argument. Finally, Prabhupada grabbed him by the shirt and said, if everything is one, then why don't you wear a cotton ball instead of a shirt? A cotton ball is the raw cotton. If everything is one, why don't you wear a cotton ball instead of a shirt? Srila Prabhupada the key. So, should we stop here? Are there other questions? You have a question.
And Srila Prabhupada came to the West. Americans, I don't think they heard the hardly any idea about Mayabad, let alone about India or whatever. So why did Prabhupada emphasize Mayabad philosophy?
Yeah, we were in the West. We had no acquaintance with Indian philosophy. Why was Prabhupada preaching so strongly against the Mayabadis? Yeah, actually the first devotees thought that way also. Because Prabhupada was always talking about the Mayabadis. And the devotees were, these are the early 1960s, kind of rough, little unrefined devotees. Why is he always talking about the Mayavadis? Who are these Mayavadis? They figure there's some rival sect out there in India that Prabhupada's got a bug about. And they even used to joke, you seen a Mayavadi? Seen any Mayavadis around here? I haven't seen any Mayavadi. Have you seen a Mayavadi? And then they finally realized that the Mayavadis were them. Because although in America we may not have formally studied Shankaracharya and his philosophy, but the underlying ideas are pervasive. The idea that I'm God and you're God, just sit still and realize that you're God. The God within us all means just find yourself and you're it. Or the idea that God is impersonal, which is there. Even you go into the churches and so on. They're praying to God, but finally they've got this idea that above the personal feature is a higher, impersonal, abstract essence of God. And there are Jewish theologians and Christian theologians who argue this very, very strongly, that God couldn't have a form because then he would be material. And they're right there with Shankaracharya, without even knowing it. So Prabhupada drew the battle line right there. Personal and impersonal. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati. That was his theme, his mission. That to identify impersonalism and present personality of Godhead as the legitimate truth, the ultimate truth. Impersonal is also legitimate, but subordinate. Okay. India has contributed Mayavad to the world, you can say. Or you can say that it's everywhere, because everywhere the living entities are trying to avoid the personality of Godhead. But Shankaracharya presented it very systematically.
Could you say, Maharaj, that the Mayavada idea is more simple and...
The Mayavada idea is more simple?
And therefore, for some people, there's some people that are Brahma bodies that get attracted to spiritual life, then they later become, understand a more sophisticated philosophy of personality.
Is it more simple?
I mean, like...
It's less comprehensive. Mm-hmm. You can say that. You can say it's like grade school. It's the first step in God realization. It's to see the presence of spirit everywhere. And, you know, when you're first learning anything, you don't know too much about it. You have a vague idea. So this is sort of a vague idea of God, like approaching the mountain from a distance. You just see kind of a big shape, and you don't see the trees and the flowers and the stream and the birds. So you can say that. It's not ultimately more simple philosophically when you have to try to explain how everything is one and yet there are so many varieties. Then it gets very complicated. The contortions that the Mayavadis have gone through to try to show how everything is one yet appears to be full of variety is very unsimple. So it's not simple in the sense of elegant, and in the sense of elegant, it's not. It's got serious philosophical problems.
I was thinking, I heard one time that Prabhupada was sort of, gave a lecture and he was sort of unhappy, or maybe tears coming from the eye, and someone said, asked him what he was thinking, and he was thinking that, I said that Krishna consciousness is very easy, just chanting, dancing, and feasting. But sometimes there is a difficult to overcome.
Yeah, it's like a disease. You know, malaria is very simple. It's a disease. The Mayavad is a disease of the soul. The soul is an eternal servant of Krishna. But being diseased by this idea that I'm the enjoyer, that I'm identical with God, that there's no difference between me and the Supreme, suffering.
I think Prabhupada said in Bhagavad Gita that the Mayavadi idea is the product of the fear.
Yeah. Vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya manupashvata. Fear of personal existence. Yes.
What's the difference between an impersonalist and a Mayavad?
What's the difference between an impersonalist and a Mayavad? It's like the difference between the sea and the ocean. They're impersonalists, therefore they were, you can also say they were Mayavadis, they were thinking that everything is one when they came to a higher realization.
Usually we see oceans are bigger than seas.
Small distinction.
There's actually a big distinction, huh?
Hmm?
There's actually a big distinction.
Between the sea and the ocean?
No, between the Mayavad is impersonal. Because Prabhupada said about it also, the impersonal is they can realize the absolute truth. Both of them, the devotee and the impersonal.
Yeah, Mayavadis, the impersonalists, the Brahmavadis, the Mayavadis, the Shunyavadis, they can all come to the right point when they give up Mayavad, Shunyavad, impersonalism. They can all come to the right. That's what our Krishna consciousness movement is. Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi, Paschpacha, Desha, Tarani. To deliver these people from Mayavad, from impersonalism, from Brahmavad, from all these vads.
You know, one difference is that the impersonalist, there is no Mayavadi. In Mayavadi, they are offenders to Krishna. No?
And the impersonalists aren't?
The impersonalists
aren't offenders to Krishna. Yeah, Gyani means the person who's engaging in devotional service, understanding that Krishna is the personality of Godhead. How do you engage in devotional service if you think there's no difference between you and God? Gyani means one who's cultivating knowledge. It doesn't mean a person who's obstinately insisting there's no difference between me and God. Ganavan, Madhu Prabhupada, the real Gani is the one who surrenders to Krishna. Okay. Shall we stop here? I think so. Thank you all very much. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.